As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, Lord, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another valley, and it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But he said, do you remember just where I brought you from? Won't you take a look behind you and see how far you've come? Every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind and it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She says, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low, says, I've moved like that before, and I'll do this little thing, child, and I'll give you so much more. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, and it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Didn't I walk on the water? Didn't I calm the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, and it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? Walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
All right. Let's stand together as we read the scripture, Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. We'll read verses number 1 to 6 this morning, Romans chapter number 8. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not in the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are in the flesh, or that are after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. But for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Bless our time this morning. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. We've been talking Over the past few weeks about a series we're calling The Spiritual Diet or Spiritual Health, being spiritually healthy. And we've been kind of correlating to that to physical health and how that really we are as healthy, all things being equal. You have DNA issues and stuff you can't change, but all things being equal, we are as spiritually healthy, we are as physically healthy as we kind of choose to be sometimes. And spiritually speaking, we are as spiritually healthy as we choose to be. The reason most people are not healthy physically as well as spiritually is a lot of times is because we don't think about our health. Yep. We don't think about our spiritual health. We don't think about our physical health. We kind of put everything on autopilot. And as long as we don't see a huge major problem, we don't think much about our health. About 2 months ago, late the last week of September, my wife and I were in bed, and about 2:30 in the morning, I just woke up out of the blue, and I hopped up out of bed, and I couldn't breathe. My windpipe was closed, and I jumped up out of bed, and I was trying to take a breath, and I'm like, you know, I couldn't breathe. And my wife hopped out of bed. She was a lot of help. She grabbed the wrong phone. She was going to call 911. She grabbed the we have the old school still. We have a landline, okay? Those are going the way of dinosaurs. She grabbed the landline, and it was the microphone one, and we never use it. She couldn't dial it. But I hopped out of bed, and for some reason, my throat was clogged completely, and I got up, and I was for about a minute. Now, after I was out in the living room, I think when that happens, and you start thinking, man, this is it, you probably think about Jesus and meeting Jesus. I didn't think about that. I thought, really? This is how it's going to end right here, huh? I should have thought that. But I could not get a breath in. And my wife's trying to call 911, and she's like not knowing how to use the phone. And then all of a sudden, for whatever reason, my windpipe opened. And I'm like, I took a breath. I'm like, okay, I'm good. Just give me a minute to catch my breath. Everything's going to be fine. And so I started breathing again. I didn't die. So that's good news. But I went to the after it stopped. I'm like, that was crazy. I had no idea what happened. My wife's like, well, let's go to the emergency room just so they can kind of take a look at it. We went and they didn't see anything. But the point is, after that, I went to the doctor and they're like, we're going to run a bunch of tests. And then after that I got some type of lung infection for a little bit here, and so they were giving me test after test after test. I've been to the blood place 4 different times for them to take blood, and they're checking everything. They sent me to get a chest x-ray. They sent me to a pulmonologist where they had me breathe in this thing and take these tests for a long time, and they came back to see what was going on there. This is interesting. They sent a guy to my house, and I got a full body ultrasound. I'm not pregnant. That was encouraging. And I mean, they did. I mean, the guy checked every organ. He checked all of my arteries. You name it. He was there for a long time. And so I've done all these different tests. They're trying to find out what's going on. I have one more test. They want to check my heart, but I'm pretty sure that's dead. They didn't check my head because they realized there's nothing in there, so why waste their time and their money? But the point is that they decided, you know, that because of this thing and what they couldn't figure out what it was, they're going to test everything. And so I've had a like complete checkup just like all the way through. Spiritually speaking, it's time sometimes for us to get a spiritual checkup. Amen. You see, when everything seems to be going well and there's no problems, or we think it's going well, even though it may not be going well, there's no reason for us to check and to see where we're at and how things are going on. But we need a checkup on a pretty regular basis. Now, you know why people don't like checkups? I don't like checkups either, okay? The guy's doing the ultrasound in my room, you know, he came to our, and he's checking, he checked all my heart, and he checked all of the different, he could check all the valves. He goes, you don't have any buildup in there? I have one. One of my arteries right here has like a 10% buildup in one. But he said, that's normal for your age. But everything else, he's checking my gallbladder. He goes, let me see if you have gallstones. And I'm great. That's just what I need to know. Thanks. You know, he's checking. Let's see if you have any masses here. It's like, no, you're good. But you're listening. It's like, I hope he doesn't say anything negative. I'm thinking, you know, this is good to know now that I don't have any of that stuff. But when he's doing it, I'm like, is he going to come back and say, hey, guess what? You have 2 weeks to live. Right? That's why we don't go, because we don't want to necessarily hear what he's going to tell us. But I do know this. If there is something wrong, it would be better for us to know so we can do what we can to correct it. And so sometimes we don't want to take a spiritual checkup. Well, Paul, in these verses, talks about the opportunity we have because we're no longer condemned in Christ. If we will not walk according to the flesh, we can have a different type of life. We can have a spiritual life. We can have a life that is different. Because now that we're saved, we're no longer under the power of sin and the flesh. That's why he tells us if we're spiritually minded, it's life and it's peace. I do know this. You can't have life and peace if you're not healthy spiritually. And God wants us to get healthy spiritually. So this morning, I want to give us, in the brief time we have together, I want us to take a little spiritual checkup this morning. Two reasons I want to give that. For those of you who know there is a problem, so you can figure out the solution. Okay? If you're having a problem in one area, it doesn't do you any good to fix a different area. Think of your car. If your car has a transmission problem, changing the battery is not going to fix that. All right? We need to deal with the transmission. So we need to figure that out. And for those who need to find out that there is a problem, see, that's the more dangerous. The people that don't want to stop and take the time to figure out, you know, there is something here I need to fix and I need to work on. I want to examine a few areas to see how healthy you and I are. Number one, I will say this. We need to check our stomachs. Why check our stomachs? This has to do with food. We all understand, and we don't follow it, especially around the holidays, unhealthy food leads to unhealthy living. Someone has said of certain people, they dug their grave with a spoon and a fork. And we can do that if we're not careful. But spiritually speaking, we need to have the proper food. Three areas that we could mention is, first of all, we need to have the right desire. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. See, we have to desire the right kind of food. Fact of the matter is, spiritually speaking, we have to desire food, period. Because it's very easy for us, if we're not careful, to get no spiritual food. And to be okay with that. Listen, none of us would be okay with not eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner. None of us would be okay with going days without eating. But yet, how many of us are content with not eating spiritually? And the fact of the matter is, we don't have any desire. When you have a newborn and you bring them home, if it's your first one, you're so excited and you're so fired up. Long about 2 a.m, what do you hear? Ah! Why? Because that's just what they do, right? No. Because those kids are hungry. They need to eat. They're younger. They need food a lot more often. By the way, a newborn has life, right? You know what they do? They eat and then they sleep. Why do they sleep? To have enough energy to wake up in 4 hours to eat again. But the baby desires the food. They have to have it. And if they don't get it, they're going to let you know about it. I wish we had that kind of desire for the Word of God. Psalm 1, verse 2 and 3 tells us, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, this man who's blessed. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Think about that. A tree by the rivers of water is getting watered. It's going to be healthy. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. It's fruitful. His leaf also shall not wither. Another sign of health. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow. What a promise. Why? Because he desires God's word and he's in God's word. And you say, you know, I'm kind of new at this. I don't desire it. I don't really get it. Do you know that the more that we desire and to get in God's word, the more we will delight in it? Because the more it'll start to make sense to us, the more the pieces will start to fit together, the more we will make it a part of our life, and it just becomes our delight. But it'll never become our delight if you don't desire it. Many of you, if you're like me, I've mentioned I didn't like vegetables or salad when I was younger. Now I like them. And I actually delight in some of them. Now, some of them I don't delight in, but some I do. Things I would have never delighted in before, now if it's on the plate, it's like, that's good. Why? Because I've started to get a desire for it. So we need a desire for the Word of God if we're going to have the right kind of food. And we need to be determined in what we're doing. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12 says, "For when the time you ought to be teachers," now listen, this is a rebuke to them, "you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." He says, listen, he's rebuking these people because they've been Christians long enough to fact where they ought to know and be teaching others the Word of God. He says, but because you haven't done that, you're like a baby that still needs to be taught. They weren't faithful in their eating. They weren't faithful in their desire, and they didn't grow, and they're still stagnant, and they're back where they should not be. They're drinking milk when they should be eating steak. Now, I don't know about you. If someone offered me a glass of milk or a steak, I'm taking the steak every single time. All right? The steak, that's never a contest. You look at babies and you look at the garbage they eat. They drink milk and then they drink that. And whoever comes up with this baby food is ridiculous. Peas and chicken, you know, or pears and whatever. It's like, I don't eat that food combination. Why would they eat that? But boy, they get to look forward to it. They get older and now they're eating the real food, right? And you can set them down with a plate and they'll eat half of it and they'll throw the other half on the floor and you'll teach them that later. But as they grow, the food gets better. But we have to be determined. We have to be determined that we're not going to stay where we're at. We're going to get to where we need to be. We're not going to be babes. We're going to end up growing as Hebrews tells us. How faithful are we? Determination always shows itself in faithfulness. We're determined to eat each and every day, so we're going to be at the table when the meal's there. Well, how determined are we to be faithful? By the way, a really good and easy characteristic to have is let's just be faithful to the things that God wants us to do. Be faithful to the daily scriptures. Be faithful to the church services. Be faithful to learning. Anything that is less than that is not healthy. And if we do that, then we'll have the proper digestion. Hebrews chapter 12 again. You can turn there if you want, but I'll read it for you. After verse 12, he says you should be teachers, but you're still babies. Then he gives a principle. "For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe." In other words, you don't understand the basic things of the word of God. You've not been in the word of God very much, so you really don't get it. You don't understand it. It's not really making an impact in your life. You're at the milk stage. "But strong meat," you can just circle that and write steak, "belongeth to them that are of full age," they're mature, "even those who by reason of use have their senses exercise to discern both good and evil." What takes us from milk to meat? We use what we're learning from the Bible. If you, well, I'm going to go to bio, and I can tell you where Genesis is, and I can tell you who Abraham married, and I know what happened to Joseph, and I can go back to Ezekiel. Oh, you know all of it, but if you don't live any of it, you're milking it. We have to be able to take what we're learning and put it into practice. The more we put it into practice, the more we're learning, the more we're going to be able to understand the Word of God. You know, we've heard the phrase, the average Christian is educated far beyond their level of living. And I understand that to a bit, but we need to make sure that we're working on it. We're not digesting it. We get that, we take the Word of God and we don't just hear it and it goes in one ear and out the other. It becomes a part of us and we digest it and it becomes a part of our. So we need to check our stomachs. Next, we need to check our heart. We need to check our heart. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 1 and 2, it says this, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his commandments," and here's the phrase I want us to get, "and that seek him with the whole heart." Now, if you will read in the Bible, but if you read particularly in Psalms, and actually Psalms 119, that phrase comes out, whole heart, whole heart. We give everything to it. I know we're not healthy if we have heart issues. And it's very important that we have a strong heart. Spiritually speaking, we need to have a strong heart. The reason some of us struggle with that is because we're not careful with our hearts. Let me read a verse that we need to understand. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There's a song that we sometimes sing. I think Nick sings it more often. Guard your heart. The reason your heart may not be 100% holy, connected to the Lord, is because we're taking our heart and we're letting it be pulled and we're letting it be connected to things that it shouldn't. We think about it. Listen, if my heart is in everything but God, I'm not going to have much of a heart for God. Listen, I can't tell my wife, you know, honey, you're the only girl in my life. I love you with all my heart, and I have girlfriends. Okay? That's not going to work. I only have so much heart. Okay? She's pretty much taken all of it. Now, what she did with it, I have no idea. But I can't love her and somebody else. I can't. That doesn't work. But how many of us try to do that with the Lord? You see, if you look in the Old Testament, recently my Bible reading schedule, I'm just finishing up the Old Testament. If you read through, especially the prophets, they talk about when we're unfaithful to God as if we're having an affair, a married person having an affair. That's the picture. He pictures Israel in this picture as the bride or the wife and being unfaithful and going out and being immoral with somebody else. That, by the way, to a man particularly and also a lady, that's probably the most hurtful thing that you can do to them. Yes. What God's trying to tell you is, you love me, but yet you're with somebody else. What we're saying is God doesn't have our heart. There's so many things on this earth. We won't look at it, but if you'll look at Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives a parable where a man goes out and he sows seeds into four different areas. And in some of the areas, the seed never even takes root. Some of it gets a little bit of root. Some it gets going and then it stops. And then in the other, the seed catches and it's very, very fruitful. Now, as he explains the parable, the seed is the word of God. The heart, the ground is the heart. And the seed of the word of God is only going to be as fruitful in the heart as we allow the soil of our heart to be. Some of us have hard hearts. Some of us have hearts that are choking out the word of God because of all the nonsense in the world. I know this, I can't be out in the world and I can't be listening and watching and being a part of stuff that's totally anti to God and not have that choke the word of God out. Too many people have a secret life. And that secret life is creeping into the heart. And what's going to happen is the word of God's trying to launch into the heart. The word of God's trying to catch in the heart, and it can't because there's not much heart left. If we're going to be spiritually healthy, we need to make sure that our heart is right. Do we have a heart for God? Here's the attitude we should have. Whenever we open the word of God and read it, whenever we are in church and maybe we hear a truth, we ought to say, Lord, if that's what you want, I'm going to let that become a part of my life. I'm going to let that seed plant. I'm going to let that seed grow, and that's going to become who I am. But it's hard if you're letting other stuff in there. Anything that's opposed to God needs to be kicked out. Guard your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So how's your heart today? Next, you need to check your vision. Check your vision. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Right. By the way, the vision he's talking about here is related to the word of God. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, one thing I do for sure, I don't know, I don't always get a physical every year. I probably won't for the next couple years. They've seen everything they need to see and then some. But I go to the optometrist every year. Doctor, I can't pronounce his name. It's Prashamajad or something. He's a great guy. I go every year. And they go in there and they, you know, they do the whole nine yards and all that. And they check my eyesight. I want to make sure. And I wear glasses for reading. Up close is a little bit blurry sometimes. And each year, usually I get a little bit of a better prescription if I need it. And so, but I go every year and I get that checked. I want to make sure that that's right, the best of my ability. But all of us need vision, spiritually speaking. And the vision that we have is tied to the Word of God. The Word of God gives us vision as to what our life should be. The Word of God gives us vision as to how our life can be. And we make that a part of our life. God's Word gives us vision as to what we should do and what we could do in this world. And we look to the future and we move our lives around that so that we can fulfill what He wants. Vision's important from the Word of God. It gives us direction. Too many people have no direction in life. They're floating around like a pinball machine, the ball in a pinball machine. You know, they get up there on the bumpers and it's ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. That's most people's lives. No direction at all. We're just kind of floating from day to day. Vision gives us hope for what could be and what could happen. And vision gives us a purpose. It gives us a reason to get up each day and no matter what we're doing, fulfill God's word. I'll say this, I know people start to lose their spiritual zeal when they lose their vision. Now it's just, I come to church because I'm supposed to be here. I read my Bible because I'm supposed to just crack it open, and I read my three chapters. I have no idea what it said, but I'm pulling out my Bible reading schedule and I'm checking it off. We get discouraged and frustrated in our marriages. We get discouraged and frustrated with our children, in our lives, because we have no vision. By the way, some of you here used to have a vision. You used to see that God could do something in your life, and now that's been thrown out, and you've replaced it with all kinds of things. And by the way, that's going to infect your spiritual life. You ought to look at your life, and I know we got a lot going on. We have work we have to take care of. There's bills to be paid. There's situations that need to be handled. I understand all that. But behind it all, we ought to have a vision of what God wants to do in our life and what we can do if we'll follow Him. And when you lose that, your spiritual zeal is going to die. And your family is going to be affected. You say, well, I'm here, and maybe I had a spouse, and they used to go forward. My spouse isn't right now. I'm kind of losing my zeal. Don't lose your zeal because of somebody else. Well, I have my children, and they're doing okay, but I'm kind of concerned. Okay, that's normal, but listen, I know this. Jumping off shift isn't going to help. And you young people, you ought to have a vision for your future. Don't be on your phones and on the internet, all that garbage. Figure out what God wants you to do and say, I can accomplish something. God can do something with my life if I'll just follow Him. Get a vision for what God wants you to do. By the way, our church has to keep its vision. We're not just here to meet on Sundays and here we go, we got that over with, let's see you next week. That's why we don't just meet on Sunday mornings. Okay, there's Sunday night, we have Thursday night, we'll go out. So listen, there's people that need to be reached in this city. There's people that need to be reached in this world. And someone's got to do it. So we're going to reach our community here, and we're going to spread that and reach people in other places. We have to have that vision. Now, we'll have fun this December. We'll have all the special Sundays. But it's not just about that. It's about reaching people. Let's get a vision for that. Let's not lose that. Because if you start losing vision in other areas, eventually you lose vision in your life. How's your vision this morning? When you have bad vision, you quit hearing from God. You quit focusing on what God wants to do in your life. You start to get a little distant from church. Because we're going to talk about the Word of God and we're going to talk about vision. And we quit getting involved in the lives of others. Because after all, it doesn't matter anymore. It's just about me. Let's make sure we keep our vision. Next, if you want to be, by the way, think of Joseph. God gave Joseph a dream. Said Joseph, and Joseph may not have understood it all, but one day he was going to be the bigwig over his family. Now, he may not have understood it, but think of all that he went through. Sold as a slave by his brothers, working for Potiphar and being lied about that he attempted rape, which he didn't, and then he's thrown in jail. Stuck in jail for several years, and forgotten about, and next thing you know, he's vice president of Egypt. And the vision came fulfilled. What got him through all those? Well, his family bailed out on him. He was okay. Friends bailed out on him. He was okay. People lied about him, but he was okay. You know why? He never lost sight of what God was going to do or what God could do in his life. At the end of his life, when his brothers were all nervous and dad died and they thought Joseph's going to let us have it now, he said, you meant it for evil. But you know what? I understood everything. God meant it for good, to save much people. Next, let's check your activity. Check your activity. A sedative lifestyle is not good. Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, Jesus said, but he that is greatest in the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed means changed by the renewing of our mind. What do we got in here? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable. They'll tell you this. When you have an illness and maybe something happened, you got cat with this, they said one of the things that will keep you going is your mental state is very important. If you're going to fight a disease, if you're going to fight something, you've got to be mentally strong. If you give up mentally, we had someone many years ago, and they died. They called over and said, hey, they passed away. They were having cancer. It was a relative of somebody here. And so they called me to go over right after they died. They were still at the house. They had died at the house. And one of the relatives told me, he said, you know, when they got this disease, they may have been able to fight it, but they just said, you know what, I'm not going to fight it. They kind of just gave up. Now they may not have won that battle anyhow, but that's part of the battle sometimes. We have a negative outlook on things, okay? By the way, how many of you are like me? You kind of have, if you're not careful, you get that negative outlook naturally. Is there anybody like that? You got to fight that, right? Man, you come home and everything in the house is right and there's one thing wrong, and it's like, hey! You know, you didn't notice the 99% good? You know what they say? If you look at a blank white sheet of paper and there's a black dot and you say, what do you see? Everybody's going to say, I see the black dot. Well, 99.99% of the paper is white, but we see the black dot. So some of us, if we're not careful, we have negativity. We need to make sure our mind is right. Now, how do we have the right kind of mind that'll lead to the right kind of life? What are you feeding it? What are you putting in your mind? I could tell. I really could tell. Well, let me ask you a few questions. What are you watching? If you're watching shows that is portraying, and not to be step on a horse over here, it portraying shows where two husbands or two wives or the children are running the home or they're presenting immorality as being normal. If you're feeding your mind with that stuff, guess what you're going to think? By the way, those of you that go to non-Christian type schools and colleges, you better be careful. You're going to be fed that stuff all the time. The average college student in our country cannot think. We don't think anymore. But let's feed the right kind of thing. What are you listening to? I'm not thinking about Jesus if I'm listening to kill yourself. What? Okay, that's depressing. You know? It's just dumb. What are you learning? What are you allowing to influence your life? Who are you with? What are you reading? Everything that gets into our mind, everything that gets in our mind teaches us something. So we need to be very careful. Let's allow. If you can't, look, whatever gets in there is going to affect you, right? So if we cannot control how it affects us 100% correctly, we can't control 100% what we allow in there in the first place. But what's in our mind? Lastly is this. Check your hearing. Excuse me? Check your hearing. Look at this. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. And then it says, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Now let's think about that for a minute. Be ready when you go to the house of God where you're going to hear the word of God. And don't give the sacrifice of fools. You know what a sacrifice of fool is? They come to hear, but they don't listen. Nothing you say is going to get them to consider a change in their actions. If you think that you're okay, if I think I'm okay just because I show up for a church service, I'm giving the sacrifice of fools. If I think I'm okay just because I open my Bible, that's a sacrifice of fools. If I'm not willing to hear something, and if God speaks to me and says, you need to make a change in your life, and I'm not willing to do that, everything I'm hearing, I'm not listening, I'm giving the sacrifice of a fool. How's your hearing today? How's your hearing? Most of our hearing spiritually is kind of like a husband and wife. If you've been married any amount of time, you could sit there and you're talking to each other and you know when the other one is checked out, it isn't listening, right? They're thinking about something else. If I'm in the car and I'm talking, I know my wife's in, I call it the Alma zone. There's something in her mind she's thinking about. Maybe it's something she has to take care of. And she's trying to multitask, right? I'm going to listen to you and I'm gonna think about this in my mind. Guess who gets the short end of the stick? Me. So I'll just throw something in there to see if she's listening. No. By the way, I went to the doctor. I'm pregnant. I have twins. Oh, that's great. It's like, what do you mean that's great? I'm not pregnant. She wasn't listening. By the way, I've been guilty. I'll do that. You know, you ever talk to somebody, you're talking to them, they're like, uh-huh, and they're looking, they're looking the other way. They ain't listening. Spiritually speaking, that's how most of us are, right? We're not listening. We listen because God wants us to hear something that can help us to be spiritually healthy. Let me ask you this morning. You need to have a spiritual checkup. Okay? Look at these areas. How is your desire for the Word of God? How is that? We'll confess later. How's your hearing? How's your vision? How's your mind? How's your activity? All of these things. Is there, then sometimes we look and maybe all, if we're really bad off, there's a lot of areas. But hopefully when you look at it, the doctor can pinpoint it to one area and say, you know what? You're doing pretty good in all these areas, but that area right there needs a little help. Is there an area in our life where we need some help this morning? Let's be spirit. By the way, I've said it over and over, and as we come to the end of this series, here it is. You're spiritually healthy as you choose to be. You know, sometimes you can do everything in your life. How many have ever heard of Pete Maravich? Pete Maravich was a great basketball player. He played in the early 70s. He actually was one of the first to play the kind of style they play today, up and down the court, athleticism and all that. And he had some injuries and had to quit early. They interviewed him when he was about 25, 26. He goes, you know, one thing I don't want to be a basketball player that plays for 10 years and dies of a heart attack at 40. Because of injury, he only played basketball for 10 years. When he was 40 years old, he was a Christian. He was playing basketball with some ministry. He tried to stay healthy. And on the basketball court in a pickup game at the age of 40, he died of a heart attack. Now, after he died, they did an autopsy and they found out there was something in his heart that was something that you're born with. There's nothing anybody could have ever done about it, and that was just how it is. So no amount of him staying in great shape like he was going to change what happened. But spiritually speaking, that's not the case. Spiritually speaking, all things are on a level field. So you can be as spiritually healthy as you choose to be. Don't blame it on something else. Don't blame it. It's our choice, and let's make the choice to correct these areas if they need correcting. Let's all stand this morning for a second.